Welcome, welcome, welcome one and all, when I put my glasses on, to the Naked Football Show. This week we welcome a virgin in the shape of Mr. Renegade Statman.
Evening.
Evening, Renegade. And
we also have back one of our own, Vulture.
Good evening, viewers.
Good evening, Vulch. How are you?
Yeah, off the medication following Saturday. I've had it upped.
Okay. Studio at icrfm.co.uk if you want to email in, please do. And during the week, nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk. And you can tweet us at nakedfooty. Well, hey, is that a tweet? It might well be. We'll have a look. Oh, it is. Hey, hey, the abuse starts now. this is a weekly show where we have a look at the cycling around the world. This week we're going to look at the Vuelta in Spain. So, Statman, you're into cycling. How's it going?
Very good, actually. Yeah, I'm really pleased to be invited here to talk about, you know, cycling for 30 minutes. Probably the only interesting sport around there at the moment. But good to see that John Degenkolb had just edged out Nasser Bahani today. What did you think?
Yeah. I thought Bahani was a very big outsider today. But I was a bit disappointed that Chris Froome, really, on his very favourite mountain terrain, didn't quite perform for me. You know, all these flair cyclists around him, and you know, he was just completely overwhelmed in the middle of the peloton, I thought.
Well, I think, you know, Chris Froome not performing, that's a real shame.
Yeah.
Why is that? Do you not like Chris Froome?
No, I don't like Chris Froome. No.
Why is that?
He's not Bradley Wiggins.
Yeah. Are you a Wiggins
fan?
He's
not Bradley Wiggins.
He's not Bradley Wiggins. And
he wasn't born in England.
Bradley Wiggins wasn't born in England.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
He was born
no.
in Belgium. He's just not Bradley Wiggins, and he hasn't got a personality, and he blocked me on Twitter. I could go on all afternoon if you like, but no.
He blocked you on Twitter. Am I allowed to ask why?
Because it was a day that he crashed in the Tour, and he tweeted, which was the next day when they were going to have the cobbles, and saying, it's going to be, I've got my team around me, it'll all be okay, something like that. And I tweeted him saying that he will be in pain all day. It will be a painful day, I think, and he clearly got it the wrong way, like most people do with my tweets, because I was just clearly saying, you know, my thoughts are with him, and it'll be quite
because
a
you're a cyclist, you know what it's like. Absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
It is a painful day, the cobbles.
Yeah.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Stage, wasn't
anyway,
it?
And if he's listening, I was right, Chris, because it was painful because you pulled out.
And can you now unblock Mr. Statman?
Yes.
Yeah, because he will be listening.
Yeah.
We got an Australian in the lead, haven't we, at the moment?
Yeah, Bling Matthews. I don't like him because his nickname is Bling.
Is that his nickname? Why?
Yeah.
I presume for obvious reasons.
Yeah, for the obvious reasons.
Because he's got a Chinese telephone. I'll let that one sink in while you're thinking about it.
Yeah, I've got it. I'll just
leave in the gap there for you.
Yeah, right. I suppose we need to really move on, don't we? It's a shame.
I'd much talk about football.
Not desperately, no. Anyone want to start on that debacle of Saturday and thoughts?
Start.
Yes, yeah, go for it, Renegade.
If you could, because I'll start crying.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, one of the key things that I feel that Mick McCarthy was missing, and maybe nobody told Mick McCarthy himself, but actually the game on Saturday was a derby against our biggest rivals.
Yeah, it was.
And I didn't see any passion. I was hoping to see, you know, somebody crunch into one of their players. You know, well, quite a few over the pitch just to get that derby action, to get the crowd going. But in all sense, I think the 1-0 scoreline flattered us. I think, you know, Norwich treated it like a pre-season friendly. Didn't really get out of first gear. We were just so one-dimensional, getting the ball and booting it upfield. And for me, I think it shows how poor that we were, that I had Tyrone Mings as our man of the match with slightly average than his normal 5 out of 10. I just thought we were poor all over the pitch.
Mings and Higham showed a bit of passion, at least. I mean, Higham was chasing all around the pitch, and I think that's because he's a local boy. He knows what the game means. But
he knows what the pitch is like, doesn't he? He's played there a long time.
Yeah, and apart from that, I can't really argue with anything that the stat man has said.
No.
Well, I mean, at one point, my son was sitting there next to me, and I looked down at him, and he was playing with his baseball cap. And he said, it's more exciting than the game. And, you know, for me, I kind of worry about the next generation of footballers or football fans who are going to kind of look at the sort of feast of football that Mick McCarthy serves up. And it's dull. It's dire.
What you know, could do with someone like that. Dire, that is.
Well, yeah, true.
Well done.
You put me off. I didn't realise we could do jokes. Right,
yeah,
okay, I'm warming up now.
We can do jokes because we all watch them every Saturday.
Yeah, carry on then.
But yeah, I think the football is pretty dull and dire, and I think I can. But when I was coming here, I was trying to think of a particular stat which I want to say about Mick McCarthy. And one thing that kind of stood out, you know, we talk about Mick McCarthy being a great manager when it comes to defence, and he was saying yesterday, I think I read that a report that he'd rather have it all dull and boring at the back. The thing that concerns me is that we concede what I consider non-Mick McCarthy goals, you know, goals that we'd be putting out. And in the last 13 matches, we've kept one clean sheet. Just not good enough. You know, if you're not going to score... If you're not going to score goals, then and you're going to let in silly goals, you're going to go nowhere. And I tweeted the other day, I think that we'll be closer to the bottom three than the top six.
Yeah, and we are actually starting to let in silly goals. I mean, I went to Birmingham; both of those were ridiculous goals. And
Saturday's was a case in point, wasn't it?
Saturday's was ridiculous.
A ridiculous goal. No one taking charge in the box. Although rumour has it that it was Lewis Grabban who said
keepers.
But somebody said to me today, that's the oldest trick in the book, isn't it?
Yeah,
someone's got to come out and take charge.
Yeah,
I mean, if we're conceding goals because the Norwich striker shouted keepers, then
we really are in trouble.
You know, he'd at least thought he might have shouted Gurks or something like that. You know, at least tried to make it a bit better. But no, I thought it was very poor. And you know, you kind of look at some of the reaction on Twitter. And, you know, people, I've seen a few tweets about saying that, you know, Mick McCarthy should go. I don't think he should go at the moment, but I think he should pull his finger out. I think he should try and entertain the fans. I think he should kind of buy a creative player, you know, somebody who can shine bright like a diamond in the middle of the pitch. There you go, I've done it.
So in the diamond.
Yeah. And it's important that we have a attacking flair. I think the back four... I'm not a big Tyrone Mings fan on Twitter, that is. I think that, you know, potentially he could grow into being a decent player, but realistically I'd like to see Jonathan Parr there. But I still think we've got issues that we've had for a long time. We've got a centre back playing at right back. You know, Roy Keane, good old Keno, he got slated for, you know, playing four central defenders.
I am in control of these buttons and things, Stato. So if you go on about Roy Keane too long,
okay, that's the only time I was going to mention him. Keane,
no, carry on.
He got rightly criticised for playing, you know, four central defenders across the back. Mick McCarthy said the other day that he saw that Tyrone Mings was probably more of a central defender. So I kind of took it that actually we now play four central defenders across the back. But, you know, Mick McCarthy can walk on water, and people think it's absolutely fine. But I think we just need to have a look at making a bit more fun, you know. And like I said, I go down with my two children. My son is bored silly. You know, and I kind of look at it and I think it reminds me of the Mick McGivern days. And that was pretty dire. Yeah. And I think, you know, my advice to the Ipswich Town board, Marcus Evans, if you're listening, is... don't ever employ a manager called Mick Mook, because both of them have been pretty dire when it comes to entertainment.
I think the three of us are sat here are kind of all of a similar mindset when it comes to our football. We like to be entertained.
The sad thing is we've covered this in the green room beforehand, like as if we've got a green room. You know, you've got two attacking minded midfielders come slash strikers in Taylor and Wordsworth. The former having won man of the match for the last two games, or one and a half games, and whatever he thinks of them, they're not even used as an option. Even if he has got these secret squirrel things up his sleeve that he's going to get in the next couple of weeks, you know, from the Premiership, at least keep them until he gets someone in.
Right,
at the moment, we're so threadbare. You know, the options to bring on against that lot up the road on Saturday
we're so threadbare, and we're one. And it's already been touched upon. We're one dimensional, aren't we?
Yeah, people bringing people like Brew on, he might be good. He might well be good, but he's not 100% match fit. Not in this league, anyway. And you know, at least if you had a Taylor on the bench or someone like him, not, you know, Johnny Williams. But hey ho, I mean, and like we said, Rotherham are above us now, and they'll probably stay above us.
Yeah,
if they keep those two.
Yeah, yeah. If the results aren't going your way, at least if you're playing entertaining football, you've got something, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, but such a points-driven, results-driven business, football. And Mick McCarthy's Mr. Pragmatic and get the points on the board. It's not his job to entertain. I think it was Bill Shankly said, if I want to entertain, I'd employ clowns. But... it would be nice in an ideal world if we had results and
Arsenal got slated, didn't football. They? Arsenal got slated when they won the league and the cup. Was it cup double? I can't remember. Boring Arsenal it used to be. But, you know, I'd like to be an Arsenal fan winning all that as a boring team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy if Ipswich stay boring but we win things, but it's not looking likely at all.
No.
So at least let's play pretty and lose. If we're going to lose, make an effort.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see the... The view that some people have that it's all about three points. You know, I like to be entertained, and you know, for people who just say it's all about the 3 points, I guess that, you know, when they're making love, they haven't heard of foreplay.
The jokes are flying in.
Thank you. Yeah.
We did have this Simon from Suffolk Collect says enough cycling.
Enough cycling.
That was early.
Not enough cycling. Beats football.
Yeah,
it does.
Talking about a defeat against your deadliest rivals, giving them the chance to crawl out of our mighty East Anglian shadow once in a while.
Yeah, I know.
And bask in a little sunlight. Yee-hoo, we won 1-0. Yeah, come back when you've won a trophy, Muppets.
Yeah, but they'll say, oh yeah, well, what's history got to do with it?
Well, yeah, I was playing Trivial Pursuit with one of them the other day, and he wouldn't answer any of the history questions. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree with everything that you say, but sometimes I think it would be nice to have something that's a bit here and now.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, I've got two children who are 13 and 10, and the thought of actually Ipswich playing in the Premier League is completely foreign to them. They're kind of, you know, very unaware of that. The other frustrating thing is I went on holiday for two lovely weeks to Menorca, and when I was talking to a few people there who, whenever I mentioned Ipswich, knew about Bobby Robson, which was great. In fact, actually, I did wonder if a Norwich person, you know, was on holiday and they said, oh, where are you from? And you say, I'm from Norwich. You know, what do they say? Oh, the great...
Nice mustard.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Alan Partridge.
But, Bisbee Avenue.
You know, realistically, I think, you know, we do need to give something for the next generation. And, you know, it's nice to have the history, but I'd like to see us kind of push on. Maybe play a forward pass, Mick, would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? I think we might be waiting a while for something silver and shiny to appear in our trophy cabinet.
So he's talking about making some changes for the weekend. Can you see, I mean, what are they likely to
playing
be?
Football be stuff.
Yeah, that would be a good one, wouldn't it?
A bit of passion would be nice, yeah. The keeper, I think, you know, the fact that he was supposed to be doing this meet and greet tomorrow
right,
at Planet
he's
Blue, he's been pulled out. I'll let you pronounce his surname.
Bielkowski.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So I kind of see that.
Volch does speak 18 languages, don't you, Volch? Yeah. Well, he does speak a few.
Nicely pronounced there, but I kind of see that as a change. But I've kind of been willing Jonathan Parr to get a game, but I still think that he'll probably stick with the same back four. You know, he's a bit belligerent, Mick, and I think, you know...
Oh, hang on, that could be the word of the day.
Belligerent.
That's the word so far, that's the word of the day.
I didn't realise it was the word of the day.
Yeah, there is a word of the day. The belligerent was so far, it's 15 minutes in, belligerent. That's the one.
Do we have to keep saying it?
No.
That's fine, okay. Well, but he is belligerent, and I think the fact that he would be kind of just thinking... to be honest with you, not that I think Mick listens to this show or
I think he listens to anyone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
If you want Mick to listen to the show, say, Mick, whatever you do, don't listen to the show.
Yeah, don't listen to the show.
I'll bloody tell him. I'll listen to it then.
I'm listening to you.
And that's it. So I think we'll probably just play the same team. What frustrated me a little bit on Saturday was I thought David McGoldrick, to be fair, played quite well. And I love him as a player. He's got quick feet, great control.
Yep.
And for me, it was in the second half where the ball went just in the corner in front of the tunnel, and I think Mings and J-Tab, I don't know who it was there. And next thing, you know, David McGoldrick came right back into the corner.
Oh, I remember that Churchman's End or whatever
it was
called.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Sir Ramsey, safe stand,
Green King,
Marcus Evans Arena. And I think, you know, realistically, he played really well. I didn't think he was supported that well by Murphy. You know, Murphy didn't have a great game for me.
He didn't play well at Birmingham either. He's on a bit of a downer, but poor old Murphy's done so well. He's still having to work his socks off, and you know there is no one helping him at all.
No.
And McGoldrick's, you know, the fact that he was probably the best player on the pitch and he's not even fit says a lot, doesn't it?
So what about Bajner? I mean, I was when he made his debut.
Is it Bajner or Bajner?
Bajner.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. When he made his debut, I was lying on
the
sunbed drinking a pinard. Pina colada,
the badger.
You were drinking a beer. Yeah, you were on the beach.
Pina colada or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And getting a few texts from my mate Carl Plummer, and he, there you go, Carl, you owe me some money. And he said, you know, that keep me up to date. And I saw that this player came on, and I just wonder whether he's good enough. I think he's a bit of a reach signing for me from McCarthy. Same with Kevin Brew. I mean, when he came on, I think it was it his first touch. He played a wayward pass. From about 5 or 6 yards, and I'm thinking. You know, maybe I want a bit more, but I think we can't go here and blame Mick. But, you know, where's the Aaron Cresswell money gone? And, you know, I just think, you know, we need to be releasing funds. And if we're going to get a new signing, a loan signing for a year, and if it's Johnny Williams and it's going to cost us £1 million or whatever, so be it. But, you know, we need to build a team, and we need to spend that money.
Apparently he came on and played a blinder, didn't he, the other day
for
Palace against West Ham or whoever it was. So that's the end of him, I would imagine.
Sort of talking about it in the office today, and apparently he came on within 2 seconds. He played a raking ball across the pitch straight to the feet of a striker 40 yard path. I mean, that's what we're lacking at.
See, Mick doesn't like that, you know, 40 yards. He wants you to get at least 80 yards with your pass, obviously.
So. When preferably does a long from pass the back. Become a long ball? As long as Murphy gets his head on it. That's what it is at the moment, isn't it?
I'd like to see come January what he's going to think of this. You know, if Rothers are doing really well and Taylor keeps winning these man of the matches, and Wordsworth is still doing... he's actually said Wordsworth can go, hasn't he? That's the worrying thing. He's not quite said that Taylor can go, but he said it's unlikely he'll play for me again. But, you know, if they keep playing really well and Rotherham are steaming ahead, surely even the belligerent Mr McCarthy's got to think,
people make the point that McCarthy sees him every day in training. And, you know, if they're turning up late for training, and McCarthy's a disciplinarian, he's one for attitude, isn't he? If they're not showing the right attitude, he'll show him the door. Irrespective of how good.
But you've got to think the Taylor thing, and I presume that's who you're alluding to. I mean, he's gone to Rotherham, who already had three Ipswich players there, or three players that have played for Ipswich, three loan players, or two loan players, and Loci. And they must have said something to the manager. And I'm guessing they probably actually recommended him. I doubt they said to him, "Oh, I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole." They probably said, "Well, look, he's kind of willing to let Taylor go. Go for it." So, you know, he can't be that bad.
No.
But I mean, Georgie Best had problems off the pitch, but he didn't ever drop him.
If you've got a certain amount of talent, you get forgiven anything, don't you?
That's I'm not saying he's Georgie Best, but my goodness, he's better than what we've got.
That's what I think is that you know, there's something about Taylor and about Wordsworth that McCarthy doesn't like off the pitch. And, well, it would appear that he doesn't like much what he sees on the pitch of him, because they're creative and...
Not McCarthy-esque.
Not McCarthy players.
No, they're not. But he seems to be clearing the decks at the moment. Obviously, you know, he said to Frank, you know, Frank Newell, that he can go. Obviously, Byron Lawrence has been, you know,
Byron
now training with Colchester.
What do you think of that one?
Well, I kind of felt sorry for Byron Lawrence. when Jewel Lout was in charge, I think he was his token youngster. I think you know, there was, I'm going to play the young players, and obviously we had some of the youngers in Jimmy Bullard and Ivar Ingemarsson and Lee Bowyer, but I think he just brought him into the team too quickly, and then obviously he went, and you know, Mick McCarthy doesn't really like young players. I don't think, I kind of struggle to think of the players that have come through from the academy or whatever. I think if we're waiting for young players to break into this team, it probably won't happen under Mick McCarthy. But I think it's important to realise, you know, that Mick got a 3-year contract given to him in June. Maybe that's where the Cresswell money went, I don't know. But so he's not going to go anywhere. So what we have to do is hope that, you know, Marcus Evans kind of really backs him. And I kind of get frustrated about, you know, financial fair play. We kind of seem to be one of the only teams.
I
kind of wonder why. You know, other teams seem to be doing it. I appreciate those teams that have come down from the Premier League of got parachute payments, etc., and stuff like that. But I think, you know, what do we want? You know, it's 13 years in the Championship. Do you want to carry on like this? Because the only way that we will leave this league one way or another will be relegation to League One. I can't see us ever, with the way that Marcus Evans is controlling the purse strings, I can't ever see us being lucky. I think it's probably what Marcus Evans is hoping with Mick McCarthy. You know, I've got an experienced manager. He does quite well without any money, and maybe we might get one of these lucky seasons. But, you know, that doesn't happen that often.
No.
And, you know, we just have to, we gave a lot of money to Jewel out, and you know, Roy Keane, he got steady. He got a lot of money, and I think, you know, a lot of fans, even myself as well, when he was appointed as manager, we had Simon Clegg the day before. You know, we suddenly became Roy Keane's Ipswich, which was fantastic. And I think, you know, realistically, I thought we were going places, but you know, things didn't quite work out well. That's all I'm going to say. Jewel out took us further, and Mick McCarthy did rescue us, I believe, from relegation. But you know, I checked the calendar when I came in. It's not November 2012 anymore. It's August 2014, and we need to look forward and stop harping back about what he did, you know, almost 2 years ago. So come on, Marcus.
Always grateful for what he did, obviously, keeping us in the league. Yeah.
Well, it was fantastic, was it? We had 7 points from 13 games, and you know, he did brilliantly.
Yeah.
But you know, he should have. Paul Jewell should have gone earlier. I remember when we talked about Paul Taylor earlier. I remember when he announced Paul Taylor, you know, as that signing, and I was really, really disappointed because I really wanted Jewell out to go. I didn't see him as progressing the team, and I kind of was a bit despondent that day because I thought, well, clearly he's been backed. I don't know how much longer after the signing was.
I can't remember.
But now here we are saying, come on, Mick, spend your money. But what's he going to do? What money has he got to spend?
Well, this is it. And he needs something. He needs some money from somewhere. You'd think that ME would back him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, he's got to, because it's dire. To use that word
again.
There
you go, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you got in Johnny Williams, who, you know, we think, well, if he doesn't like the Taylor type people, he wouldn't have got in Johnny Williams, but he obviously did. So, but he's not likely to come in. Anyone you think? Any rumours? Anyone know anything that
Jack
might
Collison,
happen?
Jack Collison.
Yeah, Collison is supposed to be.
Darren Ambrose training with him, but he's not the player he was.
Garvin, of course.
The second time he came back.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. Garvin. Oh.
Trouble is, I'm a great Garvin fan, but in a slow, lethargic midfield, I mean, I think he's far better than Skews. But it's still going to be a plodding midfield, isn't it, with Garvin in it?
Yeah.
Much as I'd love to see him back here,
but
we need some
pace.
But
you never know what Mick's going to pull out of the bag. You know, he might surprise us.
Well, this is what you've got to hope, because the squad is so threadbare now, and he's let, you know, back to Taylor and Wordsworth, he's let these people go to Rotherham, and he's just got rid of Barr and Lawrence.
Where are the game changes? You know, on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, nothing is there. There's nothing. What do you think? I mean, it is the last 5 minutes. Normally, like, wait for the last couple of minutes to talk about the next game. But I actually am really worried about what's going to happen to Derby. Because Derby are playing.
I can't see us getting anything out of there.
I think
we might get stuffed if the way things are going at the moment.
Yeah, I think we'll probably win 4-2.
Yeah, 4-2, I think.
Yeah. but, you know, in all seriousness, I think. I don't know. I think, you know, Mick will like the challenge and he'll go there and probably think, you know, it's a game that, you know, we might. Might defend and get a point from, but I can't see us going there and winning. You know, particularly after last season when we were four one up. Yeah. You know, Mick McCarthy's teams would never throw away a 3-goal advantage, and we lost that game.
I felt
like a loss, actually.
It did feel like a
You know, 4-4 draw, and
that kicked Derby's season.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's where it all started for, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, Graham. That's what we need. We need something to kickstart our season.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take whatever it comes, but I think, you know, we need a couple of inspiring signings and, you know, maybe a lucky last minute winner. So yeah, 4-2.
Can you see? I mean, Ray touched on this last week, and I think he's quite right. You know, he does have his favourites: Tabby, Skewsy, everything that's got a Y that you can put a Y on the end, that'll do. McGoldrickie. Can you see Skews holding his place? Because to me, he's been a real letdown for the last few months, not just the beginning of the season.
He hasn't got a goal in him.
No,
I think if you play in central midfield, you're going to have to weigh in, I would say, at least 4 or 5 at the very least.
Mm.
I can never see him scoring. It seems to me that whenever we have a shot and it comes back from the keeper, more often than not, it's coming towards Cole Skews, and you're just thinking, might as well just give it to them for a goal kick. You know, going back to that word again, mixed belligerent. You know, Cole Skews, one of his signings. I'm not convinced that he will. I'm not convinced he'll drop him. I mean, I thought there were times last season when Cole Skews could have been dropped.
Yep.
And he played on. 50 matches now, I think, something like that. No goals.
Yeah.
he scored as many goals for Ipswich as I have.
And me.
Yeah.
I know, and Wordsworth came on because he was injured, wasn't he, against Fulham, and Wordsworth came on. I thought he did more in his little cameo than Skews did all game. And he should have scored. And but he was in the right position, which Skews... And now he's obviously at Rotherham, so...
Yeah. I had an approach from Rotherham. They wanted me to go and support them for the rest of the season, but I turned them down.
They'll probably get quite a few Ipswich fans supporting them there.
Yeah.
2 minutes left, so what do you actually reckon then at Derby? Results time, folks. You're saying 4-2, aren't you? Are you actually serious about that, or have you just drunk something with herbs in it?
I'm deadly serious. No. If it's not going to be 4-2, which is my first pick, I'll have another pick, and I think that we'll lose 3-0.
I think it's either going to be a spectacular post-derby bounce, as in post-East Anglian derby bounce, and we get an unlikely result up there. But I can see it being A, 0-0, or B, something nil to Derby.
Yeah. And changes anything quickly? Any changes you see? Keeper, obviously, you'll go with.
Change half of them.
Yeah. give the kids a go.
That's right.
Taylor and Clark.
Yeah.
My brother used to teach English, and someone said, well... Excuse me, sir, where do you put the commas? And he said, oh, roughly every 2 inches. Yeah. That sounds like the same thing. Change half of them. Yeah. Probably the back half would be better, wouldn't it? Right, that's pretty much time. So did you actually give a score there, Vulch?
I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw in keeping with the downbeat nature of this evening's broadcast.
That's nothing to do with me, by the way.
Well, Stato here has gone for a 4-2 win, so that's not that
bad. I hope he's right.
Yeah, well, we all do. I'm actually quite serious, only because I'm worried, not because I want it to happen, but I actually think Derby are going to win something like 5-0. I really do. I really worry. So let's hope I'm wrong. I usually am.
End on a high, Graham.
We're going to win 5-0. Yeah. That's what I just said.
Come on.
You heard it here first. Right, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks to... The virgin that was the renegade statman. Thank you, and we'll see you again, hopefully. Yes. And once again, thanks to the Vulture.
Welcome.
Till next week, everyone. Have a good one. Take care. Bye-bye.